This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 284 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are wrapping up, Alex, we are wrapping up our sci-fi action movie month. These are action movies with some sort of sci-fi element. Could be in space, it could be time travel, it could be aliens, whatever. Something that's based in sci-fi. And this week, we are covering a movie from 2005 called Serenity. Now, a little backstory. This is, of course, a movie sequel to the TV show Firefly, which lasted one season and then got canceled and then found a crazy big audience like after the fact, but never got renewed. However, that big audience is why this movie got made. So there was a demand. They said, we want our show. Fox said, no siree. And then Universal said, we'll make this movie, Joss. So this is, of course, written and directed by Joss Whedon. Now, Alex, I have a question for you. Were you a fan of the show Firefly? And have you seen this movie before?
So, all right. So in terms of the TV show, I was a big fan of Firefly. I thought it was awesome. It was a really cool, like, space smugglers. Like, it was just a
space western.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly like, think of Han Solo and Chewbacca. Like that. Like their adventure. But this is what, it was Josh Whedon's world in this one. I digged it. I loved it. I did not know why the hell they decided to cancel this because everybody loved this show. Yeah. I don't know. It had to be something about ratings. It had to be ratings.
I think
I don't even know why they didn't just give it like another season to see if it goes up, but it is what it is. Love the TV show. When it came to the movie, I was shocked. I was like, really? I was like, you're not going to go down this route? I was like, all right, it is what it is. Seen it once, and okay. I seen it on TV. Like, I didn't buy it. I just waited for it on whenever it came out on TV, and I saw it. And from what I remembered, I was like, okay. It was kind of like a soft reboot, but a continuation to the franchise. Like, for those of you that forgot about it, these were the characters, but now we're going to push it along. So, it was okay.
Okay.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Exactly what I was hoping you said, because I've never seen a second of this TV show and I've never seen this movie. So You guys listening are going to get the perspective of a fan of the show who at least is more familiar and a non-fan. I think this will help people because if they're like me, maybe they'll relate to what I'm saying. And if they're like you, maybe they'll relate to what you're saying. And maybe we'll say the same things. Who knows? Either way, let's get into some Rotten Tomato scores. This thing got really good reviews, just like the show did. This has an 82% critic score and a 91% audience score. I'm guessing those are the Firefly fans coming out full force.
Let me just tell you, there's no way I could, if you would have said, Alex, what is the Rotten, there was no way I would have said this is below 50 because sci-fi, this show, I believe this in like Babylon 5, like I never seen Babylon 5. Babylon 5 has like a huge following for some reason, right? Like this one, for some reason, it has novels, role-playing games. It is a big cult following for this sucker. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not surprised when a 91 or 80 in the critics.
Yeah. So very interesting. So you're going to get a fan's take and a total stranger's take on this film. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
You want financials?
Yeah. Well, how did this do? Because obviously, if it didn't make a lot of money, that's going to be surprising.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it didn't do a lot of money. All right, here we go. The budget was $39 million.
It looks like it was $39
million. No, yeah, it looked exactly like $39 million, right?
Yeah.
The worldwide total is $40
million. Oof. It's lost money. This is why Fox canceled it. Yeah. Okay, so you have critics and fans love it, but there's not enough fans is what you're telling me. Because the show, there wasn't enough people watching it to keep it alive, and enough people didn't go see it to get a Serenity 2.
Or it could have just been that people just didn't care for it. Like they didn't care for the property. It's just happens a lot, you know, when they try to do.
What we have here is a very dedicated cult following is what it sounds to me.
Well, if you think about it, you've never seen X-Files, the TV show, right?
I've seen like an episode, but no, I never watched it.
But you never seen like the entire 9 seasons, right? No. And then you never even seen the first film called Fight the Future, which I keep telling you to watch it. But The funny thing is that this is the same situation here. Mm-hmm. What helped out the X-Files was that they slotted their first motion picture into the season. So after season five, the season finale goes right into the big screen. And then it starts right into season six. So it helped and it created new fans of X-Files.
Yeah.
This one was years later after it got the boot. And then it's like, oh, we're doing a movie. So like to me, it kind of hurt. And I bet if you look up X-Files, Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, Fight the Future, it got to be high up there because this is one of their best movies. Because I want to believe stunk. It is what it is. It was really bad.
So it was 3 years later, by the way. The show got canceled in 2002 and this movie came out in 2005.
Yeah. So pretty much that's way too long. Way too long for you to go, okay, we're going to do a motion picture for a TV show that got canceled. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Because again, the reviews are great though. And let's see what if this movie's as good as they say. So Alex, you get to go first. Our lead character, Malcolm something or the other, Nathan Fillion, a fellow Nathan. So a kindred spirit. What do you think of this guy?
All right. So Nathan Fillion played Malcolm Reynolds.
Yes, Reynolds.
He's the captain of the scenario. Well, they call it at the end. Yeah, but it looked like a bird. Honestly, the ship looked like a bird if you looked at the silhouette. But anyway, he played a captain. Then they had a great cast. All right. So like the cast was cool. They had Adam Baldwin. Yeah. I think that's his name. Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin, Alan Tudyk, yep. Gina Torres.
Gina Torres. Yeah. So like, and then Julie States or Statiti or something like that. Jules or
Summer
something.
Summer Glau as well.
Yeah. So you got yourself an ensemble of really good B actors right there. Not A-list, some B TV show TV actors. People. Yeah. TV actors. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
They great. And again, they picked up exactly from where the TV show was. They were good in the TV show and they were good in the movie. Now they tweaked a little bit here and there, their mannerisms for the big screen. But other than that, they're like 99% what they were on the TV show version. Nothing big. I mean, I liked them. Nathan Fillion is a great lead for a movie. He is charismatic as hell, and I still to this day, and I keep telling you, and to the gods of the motion pictures, I don't understand why they never did an Uncharted movie with this guy, because he is Nathan Drake, but you know what? That ship went down the road. So, again, he was great as the captain. I think they were all good. Summer, gal as River Tan, or whatever her name was, the main character that could fight everybody, she was cool. I liked her. With that whole story adventure that they got attached to the doctor of the ship, brother and sister, I believe that's what they were. Yeah. They were cool. Like, again, each person had their unique traits where Adam Baldwin's character, Jane.
Jane.
He's the gunner. He's the one that wants to shoot everything. He's the tough guy. He's sarcastic. Yeah, he's always pissed off. And then you got the other military, the other Gina Torres is Zoe. Mm-hmm. Her character, which is Washburn, she was married to the pilot. I think, you know, I gave it a 5 because honestly, they were the TV show and I think the motion picture did not hinder it at all and they were good. So I gave it a 5.
I believe you. I gave them a 4 because I've never seen none of these people. You know, I have no tie to them. So I think, it's safe to say, if you gave them a 5 and I gave them 4, like they're good. Even if you have nothing, right? I've never seen a minute of this show, and I can kind of understand the dynamics. I feel like if I watched the show, I'd like them more. I probably would have gave them a 5. But because I don't, you know, there's always that thing when you watch a movie like this that's based off a show, you lose out on all of the development they had from the show. All their interactions. So you're coming in late. I think Nathan Fillion, though, I scored him mostly. Yeah, this is why I thought it really felt like a Western. It wasn't just because a lot of the planets were all dusty and the guns, the way they have the outfits, but even the way he talks, be like, I'm fixing it right on to the, like he talks like an old cowboy. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I dug it. And not only should he have been Nathan Drake, when he looked like this, so what, 18 years ago, 17 years ago, he could have played Hal Jordan in a Green Lantern movie. Absolutely.
Oh,
he would
have
been great. But of course, they didn't make it back then. So big oops on them because I thought he would have nailed it.
Is he now Nathan Fillion. Green Lantern? I think he plays Guy Ritchie. No, not Guy something.
He's playing somebody in Superman. But I wish he was.
He was a Green Lantern. He is a Green Lantern character, but yeah.
He would have killed it. That's all I'm saying. I've always liked him. I think he's funny. He was in Slither. He's a James Gunn guy, which is why he's in that new Superman movie. But I loved him in the movie Slither. I like him in this. He's fun to watch. He has that Western guy flavor. You know, he's not a bad guy, but they do heists. He's not above robbing, but, you know, he doesn't want to kill people or hurt anybody either, unless he has to. So I did like him. But yeah, I like the interactions between everybody. I like Alan Tudyk a lot, the guy who plays the pilot. He's another guy, like, I loved him in Dodgeball when he was the pirate. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny in everything I see him in. So I enjoyed him. I didn't like his demise. I didn't see that coming. I was like, no, what? Like, out of everybody on this ship, him? Come on. So yeah, and then as a group, the girl from Deadpool, she does nothing. I don't know if she was bigger in the show.
I think she was added. She was not in the show.
I know she was in the show because I looked it up, but I don't know if she had a big role. So I'm guessing.
No. I mean, she was, but the main guys were the doctor, the sister, the what's his name? The black guy that got killed, Shepard.
Yeah.
He was there. And then Adam Baldwin, the girl that fixes up the ship. And then it was the lieutenant and then Nathan.
So everybody but her was a main character.
Everyone but her was on the ship.
Well, she felt like not a main character again. So she's gorgeous. She's always been beautiful, but she didn't really do anything. Anyway, I gave it a 4. I did think it was very good for having no knowledge. 4 for me, 5 for you. All right, main villain now. We got a top-notch actor playing the villain in this. Chiwetel Ejiofor is in this movie as a... He's like gonna say, he doesn't even have a name. He's just called like the agent operative or something. Yeah, there you go, the operative. What did you think?
Well, I don't remember them from the show. Again, it's been ages since I seen it. But the cool thing about the show, each episode was like a different smuggling, like, bad guys. Like, it was like them coming up with like different pirating and all that crap. So the operative, I gotta say, Josh Whedon did a great job because this assassin was awesome. Like, this dude did kung fu, and I now understand why he was in the stupid Doctor Strange movies and all that, right? He was a Doctor Strange dude, right? He does the...
Yeah, he was the other... He's the guy who trained him.
Yeah. So he was actually really good. And I liked the scene that he fought the captain at the end, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But I thought his motives and everything was actually pretty good. But it did switch towards the end because he didn't care why they were doing what they was doing. He was just sent there to do what he had to do. He didn't care the reasoning. So he was blind at that point. But I did like the operative's motives on that for sending him and everything. So with that, I gave it a 4. I thought they were a great villain. Like, if this was a TV show, I would have given it a 5 because they would have stretched it out longer. But for as a TV movie, I give it a 4. I thought it was great.
Okay, so he is named the operative, and the Alliance is the name of the people behind him, basically. Yeah. So I thought Chiwetel Ejiofor is a great actor, obviously. And I do think he was in a movie called Red Belt, which was also like a martial arts movie. So this guy probably studied some kind of martial arts or something. He looked great in the fight scenes. I love the beginning scene where he puts the freaking little nerve move on that guy and he puts the sword on the floor. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is an honorable death. There's nothing wrong with this. That, you know, like, you did your job. And the guy just falls on the sword. That's kind of gangster, I'm not going to lie. I was like, okay, villain. I like this guy. My problem is then he's gone for a while, and then when you find out what... He's just, like, an assassin guy that they hired. Yeah, he's nobody. He has no stake in the game. He got no skin in the game, like you mentioned. He is just there because they told him, hey, don't let this guy release this information to the world. Stop him. So as a force, I think he's really good. But as a character, I just think he's okay because there's not much to him. And then at the end, you know, Malcolm lets him live, and then he's just like, all right, well, good job. I guess he quit the Alliance or something. He's like, I retired. Now I'm just going to go my way. So I don't know. I gave him a 3, but I think he was awesome in the... we'll get to action in a moment. I thought he was great in the fighting. And I just wish he was a character. He's not. He's just a face of a faceless organization.
If you look at him, he's like Boba Fett. He's pretty much a bounty hunter. Like, he's not a lot. He's just getting paid to do what he does best, is catcher people, right? Boba Fett.
This guy, give Boba Fett a 2. He doesn't even barely talk. Well, he looks cool, and that's it.
Yeah,
I know all the
much,
Boba Fett fans are gonna get mad at me, but
oh, they're gonna
tear
you up. But yeah, no, I think I liked his motives because, like, in a storyline, I think he could come from anywhere now. It's like, oh, he's an assassin.
I totally see your point.
I get it.
1 point lower. 3. Yep. Okay. Action scenes. We get some spaceships. We get some fighting. What'd you think?
Okay. I was so torn with this part because you really get 2 big set pieces. Yeah, you really do. You don't get much because you get her in the bar when she starts to snap into this thing and she's fighting everybody. Then you got Malcolm versus the assassin, which he whooped his ass from here to there before the flashbang came out.
You also
out.
Have her, all the beginning and, before he fights the assassin, where she murders all the guys in the room.
Oh,
the
yeah, Reavers. Yeah, you got that too. But then you got towards the end when she fights, but they close the door, so you just got like quick cuts of her doing stuff. So I don't count that as much. Then you got the fighting scenes with the shooting.
And the space.
You do get the space stuff. Which I kind of enjoyed. So, like, in all, I gave it a 4. I thought it was great for this time period of 2005.
Yeah.
One thing Josh Whedon knows how to do very well is action scenes, space. Yeah. The fighting choreography in this in that bar scene was nuts. I was like, okay. Like, this joint was... When she did that roll down the stairs off the guy, I was like, what the hell? Like, I ain't see that coming. I thought that was really cool. I thought Nathan Fillion, when he fought the assassin at the end, was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, he got his ass beat, but when he tried to do that nerve move on them, and then he was trying to stab
like
him.
It worked.
Yeah, dude, I was like, all right. I said, you know what? And then he hit him with the chicken wing, broken wing. Like, I thought that was actually pretty cool. Like, I thought that was fun. Yeah. So I had to give it a 4, but I say Josh Whedon did a great job with the hand-to-hand in this film. Like, he knows really well how to shoot it, so I gave it a 4.
I have the same score as you. I gave it a 4, too. There's a good amount of action. There's plenty. Like, it's not like... There's story and talking and stuff, but this movie doesn't lack in action. I gave it a 4 as well. I thought Summer Glau looked great in the, like, hand-to-hand martial arts type stuff. The shooting, you know, with the Reavers and all that. It's a little generic, you know, just these guys are like, rah, they're just monsters. They don't really, you know, do anything. And then you have the spaceship stuff when they're out in space and all the Reavers, they trick them into like chasing them and all that stuff. Here's my reason it's not a 5. And this reason will come up again in another category here, but this movie looks like a TV movie and it looks cheap at a lot of parts, especially the spaceships. So when they're just showing the Serenity and it's like taking off or something, it looks fine. Really, I watched this in 4K, but I have this on 4K. So I watched it in 4K on the disc. Everything that's not CG looks really good. But as soon as those ships come out, I'm like, mm-mm. It looks like a TV. And this was a problem I had, which a movie we haven't done yet, but like with Avengers, for example, Joss Whedon comes from television and the way he shoots is very television. Even if it's good television, he's not a super cinematic director. His stuff's not very wide. It's not very grand. It's not big, right? Everything looks like it's from a TV show, except this TV show had a decent budget. You know what I mean? So there's just something about it that I can't give it a 5, even though it was good. If this was on TV, I'd be like, dang, this TV show got some great action scenes. You know? But as a movie, they're really good. So a 4. I'm at the same score with you. But that was the only thing that hindered it for me, was some of the way it was shot and stuff like that. Okay. Storyline.
Okay. So you said something in your rant that
you could borrow
that
it.
I agree with 100%. This movie felt like a TV show. It did not feel like a movie at all. Yeah. Like, nope. It felt like a 2-hour, and I don't think it was 2 hours, it was like an hour plus.
It was an hour and like 50 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was mad short, which I thought it was good. It was a good length, but it felt like an actual TV show straight to movie. I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good storyline. I think it could have been way better. There was episodes in Firefly that could have went very well as a movie. But I was very shocked that Josh Whedon decided to go down this route. He killed a lot of characters for some reason in this movie. He killed Shepard. He killed Wash. It's not like you guys are coming back for another movie. Like, you guys could have just went off in the sunset.
Right.
But I guess he did that for the fans, like, to stir up stuff. Like, oh, man, like, they killed this dude. But honestly, I was not too crazy with the movie, like the storyline. I was just like, eh, because it felt like a TV show, like you said. Josh Whedon, you're right. It felt like when she was fighting, and I don't know if you were a fan of this growing up, but when River was fighting in the bar, it reminded me, now that you said that and now I'm thinking about it, it reminded me of Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, fighting.
Yeah.
Like, literally, when you said it, I said, holy crap. It literally, this was a way better Buffy, like, because she could fight and the cameras was not up, like, behind her that close. But I agree with you 100%. This was like a straight to TV. So anyway, I gave it a 3. I thought it was good.
We got the same score again, my friend. I have a 3. I'll explain. I think this movie works best if you have seen the show.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know that Shepard guy was important, to be honest with you. So when he died, it did not register for me as like important. Like they were mad. I know they were mad about it, but I don't think this movie did a good job of conveying how big of a character he was on the show. Whereas when, at least when the pilot died, I know, okay, this crew is together all the time. You know, they're always working together. At least I could understand that probably sucks if you really, because I liked him in the little bit of time I got to spend with him. But that other guy, it didn't have an impact. I think that's an inherent problem with the film is that if you've never watched the show, there's certain things that will happen that won't register for you that are like very meaningful. You know, Shepard dies and then Malcolm is like really upset. So I guess I'm supposed to just know this was someone important, but I don't think they conveyed it that way.
Well, one thing you said there, which I'm sorry to cut you off, was that you're right. I mean, even when Wash died, it was not even impactful. Like the dude was there for the whole season.
Yeah.
Was the husband of the wife of whatever, but there was like nobody didn't get mad and they was just like he didn't cry. And I was just like, oh, this is like, to me it was weak. I agree with you on that. The death scenes were not as memento.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you're gonna make a film, it at least has to stand on its own in some ways. Yeah. And I don't think this does as a story. You do need some sort of information. Even the whole thing with the brother and sister, like I didn't know if this was a new character or I had to Google it. I had to look it up. Like, was this person on the show? What did they do? So yeah, it is one of those movies that in my opinion, you do need to, it's better if you're familiar. That being said, I do think at least for someone who has no idea what it is, it was like a decent space Western, you know, they're doing some jobs. It took me a while to know what was going on. Like at the beginning, I'm like, okay, they're doing some heist. What are they doing? And then about halfway through, once he goes to meet the girl and they're like, it's a trap, don't go, whatever. And then the Chiwetel Ejiofor is there. And then I was like more locked in. So, but that was like halfway through the movie. So a 3 for you, a 3 for me. Well, overall.
And this is where what you just said is the reason why I tell you watch X-Files Fight the Future, because that felt like a motion picture. Like literally, if you watched at least the pilot of X-Files and then you put on Fight the Future, it's in a bigger grand, like explosions and bigger set pieces. And, you know, you felt like you're watching X-Files on the big screen. Right. And then when they return to TV, it's back to TV. Like, that's what I mean. This overall was straight just them taking the TV show and splatting them onto the big screen. And regardless of the X-Files, let's just use the Star Trek Next Generation. Right?
Those
let's use
feel that like
because
movies.
Those I will say because you watch those more. The First Contact, because I know that's your favorite one with the Borg. That felt like a freaking movie. Like you're like, holy crap. Like they literally made this into a bigger scale Star Trek movie. Right. Yes, so agree. This one didn't. This felt like a TV show, like another Firefly for an hour and 15 minutes that we get now. Granted, this was in a big screen. Now we get TV shows that are hour 15 minutes. It's like, so overall, man, I'm going to give it a 3. I thought it was a good movie. I just don't think, and I don't want Firefly fans to go crazy on me. It should have never been made. I'll say that. But I give it a 3, though.
I have the same score. I didn't want to go to 2 because I was entertained while I was watching it. You know what I mean? Like, I do think it's entertaining. Like you said, the characters have good witty banter. I laughed. There were some good lines in there. I thought it was cute. The storyline with the girl that she liked the guy, that she liked the brother, you know, and she's kind of naive and she's like, I love you. And I'm sure in the show they played it out throughout the season. But I did, I liked that element. So like, I enjoyed watching it. This 100% feels like a TV show. It does not feel like a movie. If this was made in 2023, Firefly would have been a show and this would have been a Netflix movie part of the show, pretty much. And you said, I didn't know the budget, but when you said $39 million, I said, yep. Some TV shows now have bigger budgets than that anyway for a whole season. So this very much felt like just an extended episode, like maybe a 2-part. If it's a 1-hour show with a 2-part episode that this is, and then they put it together as a movie. I loved your Star Trek comparison because I have seen episodes of The Next Generation that looks and feels like a TV show, but those movies look and feel like movies. And this did not have that same aspect to me. Yeah, okay. Some of the effects were probably a little better than the TV show. I'm sure. But it's TV-like. And it's Joss Whedon to me. I don't think he is a film director. I think he is, you know, obviously now I think he's canceled or whatever. I don't get into that kind of stuff. As far as talent, I think he's a talented writer, and I think he's a great TV person. He makes good shows, iconic shows that people love, Buffy, Angel, you know, Firefly, which was short-lived, but, you know, people like it. And as far as films, he's written some, I mean, he was a writer on Toy Story, the original Toy Story, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. So I think he can write. I don't think he could direct. I don't think he's a great movie director. As good, as big as the Avengers was, it could have been more cinematic if they had a different director, but just let Joss Whedon write it. So that being said, I gave it a 3. I thought it was entertaining. I had a decent enough time with it. I'll never watch this movie again. I have no reason to. I don't like, why would I ever put this back in? Like, I'm never going to be like, I want to watch Serenity again, because I just won't. So what is your total?
It's a 19. You know, it's a shame, because like, I was thinking, oh, do I want to buy it on 4K? Honestly, I don't. Like, I rented it and I was like, I don't need to rewatch this again. Like, it was not a story that I go, oh, I want to revisit. It's a movie that should have never been shot. I guess that's the best way to say it. Unless there was intentions of rebooting or restarting that franchise. But once they started killing off characters, main characters, you're like, this did not work for me as a story in a whole. So I gave it a 19.
I will say, if you're a diehard fan of Firefly and you have the season on Blu-ray, I think this is good to add to your collection. It's the whole story. I've never seen the show. If you're like me and you've never seen it, I honestly wouldn't even bother. And I don't think it's a bad film. Clearly, the reviews are good, but I think those are coming from people who are familiar with the show and thought this was a good continuation, which it might very well be. I have a 17 out of a 25. I don't think it's a bad movie. Honestly, I don't think it's a bad movie, but instead of a good movie, it felt like a really good TV special. So I don't know. That's my opinion. You seem to agree. All right. As far as what we got coming up. So we are continuing with we got a special guest next week coming on. We are continuing with our X-Men franchise with a little movie called X-Men Apocalypse. And then we're going on to a new month now. We already did this on the live show, so I'll just tell you. Our next theme is aerial action. These are movies that feature a lot of airplane action. So, and they do happen to, a lot of them happen to be military based, but I mean, what mostly airplanes is military stuff. So we're going to be doing some aerial action films. Our first one is going to be Midway, and we are going to have a special guest, Harrison, from his podcast is called Really Old Movies. So he is a historical film guy. He has his own podcast. He's joining us on our podcast for both episodes next week.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at this list and I was like, man, this would have been a perfect month to put in.
Maverick?
No. Executive Decision. Kurt Russell. Steven Seagal.
So, you're right. That's all I have to say about it. You're right. I just,
remember when that was like,
still do that?
We could. You already have it listed up. I don't want to mess up the list.
Or we could have even done when we did a Passenger 57. That was an airplane. Air Force One. There's a lot of options. I just chose these.
You dropped the ball.
No. Here's the reason I chose these.
Go ahead.
I chose this one because it's Roland Emmerich, who's like a big action director. Okay. Then I chose Flyboys because I think it's crap. I've never seen it, but I wanted to get one in there that maybe it sucks, maybe it's good, like under, like unknown. I don't even know if you've ever seen Flyboys.
No, right? I never seen Stealth, Flyboy, Devotion.
Then Stealth is in here because I know that one sucks. And but I want to get your take. And it's directed by Rob Cohen, who did like Fast and Furious, Daylight. Okay. I wanted to get some action director guys here. And then Devotion is new. Came out last year and I loved it. So I think I tried to do a mixture of like stuff that's good and then stuff that's maybe not. And then we'll see what happens. And stuff got Jessica Biel in it and Jamie Foxx.
Never know. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Like, I mean, there's a lot of aerial planes, though. But like, except we definitely got to do Executive Decision somewhere, somehow.
In an alternate universe, I've seen it these once. Four movies are Executive Decision, Top Gun Maverick, Air Force One, and another airplane movie.
Con Air. But that got to be Nicolas Cage
guess
month.
What? Guess what? Guess what, everyone that's listening? Aerial Month 2.
Volume 2.
The good thing is we can do a second aerial month. So that'll be the list for the second one.
Now that's a month I think people
what
will
a month,
for.
Huh? Let me tell that you. Is we're going to be getting out some good numbers.
Two.
This month, we might not. We'll see. So
yeah, you never know. All right, guys. You guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks or head over to our official website at www.nateflixreviews.com. geeksandflicks.com for all your action movie podcast needs. We have episode one, all to the latest podcast reviews there of your favorite action movies. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.